Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. The doctrine of the Holy Trinity is a mystery, not a secret. A secret remains a secret until it is known, and then it's no longer a secret. What you got for Christmas is a secret until that morning. What's behind door number 3 is a secret until the curtain's pulled away. But the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, that we worship one God in 3 persons, the Trinity and unity, and unity in Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, remains a mystery, even once we learn it from Holy Scripture. The Trinity is beyond our human comprehension. You cannot explain it rationally, philosophically, or even by way of analogy. And that's why every earthly example proposed to represent the Trinity, from the 3 phases of water, to the 3 parts of the apple, to the 3-leaf clover, are insufficient, if not out and out misleading. No, the doctrine of the Holy Trinity cannot be understood according to human reason or strength. But it can be known to us human beings, and it can be confessed. Indeed, we must confess the Trinity if we wish to be saved, as we ourselves said moments ago in the Athanasian Creed. And yet, upon confessing that creed, upon meditating on that creed, the mystery of the Holy Trinity only deepens. How can there be only one God? And yet, how can the Father be one person, the Son be another person, and the Holy Spirit be another? How can the Father be God, and the Son be God, and the Holy Spirit be God? And yet, there are not 3 gods, but 1 God. Why do we confess He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rather than they are? Indeed, the reality of the Holy Trinity is one that surpasses our mental capacities. Attempts to define Him, not them, beyond what He has revealed to us in His Word, have ended only in heresy. Well did the Apostle Paul write, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and how unscrutable His ways." But then in the Athanasian Creed, after we confess the mystery of the Holy Trinity, we confess another doctrine that Scripture itself calls a mystery, the Incarnation. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 3, "Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory." Like the doctrine of the Trinity, the doctrine of the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ cannot be fully grasped by human reason. Jesus is at the same time God and man, but not 50-50 or some other percentage, but rather perfect God and perfect man. Not man in his body and God in his soul, but rather composed of a rational soul and human flesh. At the same time, he is equal with the Father, and at the same time, he is less than the Father. Not a man, Jesus, and a God, Christ, but rather one person having 2 natures, human and divine. And this mystery must also be believed for everlasting salvation. But finally, this day, we ponder one more mystery essential for our salvation, one more mystery that is at the heart of our Christian faith. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. You see, for everlasting salvation, it is not only necessary to believe in who God is. There are countless scholars out there who could tell you all the details of the Trinitarian controversies in the history of the church. No, it is necessary also to believe in what God does. And both are before us today as we celebrate the festival of the Holy Trinity. The Athanasian Creed teaches us that the one and only true God is the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the gospel lesson, which we heard from John chapter 3, teaches us that this God loved us and gave Himself for us. Indeed, this is a great mystery, the mystery of God's love for sinners, his unfailing, steadfast love. The only true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is love. And he loves you perfectly. The Father loves the world and gave his only begotten Son to be the Savior of the world. The Son Jesus, equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, became truly man for our sake, like unto us in every way, yet without sin. He was lifted up on the cross, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. He suffered and died. He shed his blood as a payment for the sins of the whole world. He rose again from the dead on the third day in order that we ourselves may have the hope of the resurrection of our bodies and the life everlasting. And the Holy Spirit works faith in our hearts, giving new life through water and the Word, helping us to love our neighbors as ourselves. The Spirit enlightens us with his gifts so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing we may have life in his name. Truly, God has demonstrated his love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is the so of, for God so loved the world. It's not a matter of quantity, God loved so much, but rather a quality. God loves in this way. God the Father loves so that he gave his Son. God the Son loves so that he laid down his life to redeem men and women of unclean lips. Jesus gave himself for guilty sinners, even for those who did not love him. He bore their shame. He paid their debt. He died their death. And then he rose again from that death, victorious over the grave. He died and he rose again in order that unclean people, you, me, and all sinners, might too die and rise and live with him forever. Yes, equal to the great mysteries of the Trinity in unity and the incarnation of the Son of God is the mystery of God's love, that he loves poor, miserable sinners, so that he died for each and every one of them. When Jesus said that God so loved the world, he didn't mean that God loved the world in general, that he has a generic, unspecific kind of love. For God so loved the world means that he loves every single person who has ever lived. He has known them by name. He has even counted the hairs on their heads, says Jesus. And so God, our God, deliberately laid down his life for each individual sinner. None are outside the scope of his all-atoning death. There is no one for whom Jesus Christ did not die. There is no one whom God does not love. So yes, while we were yet unclean, while we were yet sinners, while we were yet ungodly, yes, even while we were yet his very enemies, Jesus loved us and gave his life for us. And this atonement, this victory over sin, death, and the grave is received by faith alone. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And all of this comes through the cross of Jesus Christ alone. The Son of Man had to be lifted up that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And so there is no other way to approach the one God in Trinity and the Trinity in unity than this cross of Jesus. But in this way, in the way of the cross, we may not only approach God, but in fact be received by him and adopted as his own sons. By this cross, your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. God the Father sent his Son into the midst of a people of unclean lips, knowing full well what would happen, that they would kill him. He held back the legions of angels that could have come and saved his Son in a moment. And so the heir to the throne of the kingdom of heaven was killed, and the inheritance was passed on to sinners. Mystery indeed. Peace has come by the murder of God. Salvation has come by the ultimate destruction. Paul writes, and he is correct, who has known the mind of the Lord? unclean people are declared sons, just as if they had never sinned, never committed a crime. The guilty sinners are no longer guilty, but rather they are now a royal priesthood and heirs of God's kingdom. The one they killed is no longer dead, but he lives. And he is now the firstborn of many brothers, your teacher and indeed your friend. The Most Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, created, redeemed, and sanctified you. Or to put it simply, he loves you. He has recreated you in the waters of holy baptism, naming you as his own child. You are no longer a slave to sin, death, or the devil. Rather, you have been drawn into Jesus' death and resurrection. You are born again of water and the Spirit. In Christ, you belong to God. You are sons and daughters of the Most High, of the God of life. His kingdom is yours by grace alone. And as we heard a couple weeks ago, the Holy Trinity has made his home with you. He abides with you, and you with him. And this is your life in him. The Apostle Paul describes this in Romans chapter 5. While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to die. But God shows his love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. As God has shown his love toward us in this, while we were sinners, he died for us. Good for bad, right for wrong, God for the ungodly. Jesus was lifted up on the cross for our salvation. And he did all this because he loves you. Again, this is the blessed mystery of our Christian faith. The unsearchable, inscrutable God, the Trinity in unity and the unity in Trinity of glory equal, of majesty co-eternal, loves you. Loves you personally, loves you deeply, loves you eternally. This mystery cannot be reasoned out. It cannot be mathematically proven. It cannot be grasped through human philosophy. But it is no secret. It has been revealed to you in God's word. And therefore, this mystery can and must be believed. God the Father has loved you. God the Son has died for you. God the Holy Spirit has worked faith in your heart. And by faith alone, you shall not perish, but have eternal life. In his name, amen.